And now, our story continues. Jonathan Smith realized that he had acted too hastily in calling Leroy Duvall. That Ricky's disappearance from the bedroom where he was supposedly sleeping indicated that he had heard the telephone conversation. Obviously, it had been enough to make the boy suspicious. Jonathan had first called Dr. Quall at the hospital, knowing that Ricky Scanlon undoubtedly would go there. And learning from Dr. Quall that the boy had collapsed before he'd been able to talk, Jonathan had then gone about constructing an alibi for the phone call that had alarmed Ricky. He had called Sheriff Ellis and repeated much of the phraseology he had used in talking to Duvall, telling the sheriff to come and pick up the boy. The sheriff, honest but mindful of Jonathan's position in the community and his candidacy for state governor, was awed by the prospect of visiting Mr. Smith's home. Now, he waited at the door for an answer to his ring.
Evening, Mr. Smith.
Come in, Ellis. Come in. Shall we go out the living room?
Well, Mr. Smith, I...
What's the matter?
Well, this is a business call, Mr. Smith.
Oh, no hurry about that. Let's make ourselves comfortable.
Say, it's a mighty nice place you've got here, Mr. Smith. Yes, sir. Mighty nice.
Yeah, thanks, Ellis. Sit down. Yeah. Have a cigar?
Oh, don't mind if I do. Mmm, smells mighty good. Mighty fine tobacco. Kind of a surprise, this Scanlon boy showing up here, Mr. Smith. Where have you got him?
Yeah, he's not right here now, Ellis.
Not here? You mean he got away?
Oh, no, no. Nothing to worry about. He heard me on the telephone when I was calling you, I guess. Must have scared him. Slipped out and went to the hospital. Now, I've already checked with Paul. They've got him there.
Hmm. Oh, wonder why Dr. Paul didn't let me know about it.
Oh, you know how Paul is. First and last a doctor. He put the boy to bed and dressed his cuts. Matter of fact, he did look sort of bunged up.
How's that, Mr. Smith? What's wrong with him?
Oh, I don't know. A boy like that, you don't know how much of his story to believe. He had some fancy tale about being shanghaied, knocked in the head and carted out of town in back of an automobile. He says he managed to get out of the car and walk back to town. He did look sort of done in, but, well...
You don't believe him, huh?
Well, it's like I told Paul. He could have got scratched up or hurt, if he's really hurt, fallen out of the back end of a truck or something like that while he was making his getaway. It could have happened just as easy as the way he tells it. Afterward, maybe he was smart enough to think he could make this story stick. Make a pitch for sympathy, you know. Hey, a kid like that is slick. You never know what angles they're figuring.
Yeah, you could be right, Mr. Smith. Well, still in all, if there's any chance the boy's telling the truth, you know how it is. I'd like to give him a fair shake.
Of course, Ellis. I believe in fair play. At the same time, we can't let our sympathies sweep us overboard. If it wasn't this Scanlon kid particularly, I'd feel a little better about it. After all, just look at his background.
Yeah, that's right. Old man Scanlon was a terrible boozer. I used to have a lot of trouble with him when I was a deputy. Drunk every Saturday, never worked. I guess you can't expect much of a stock like that.
That's what I mean, Alex. And there's no question about it, the boy has a criminal mind. He's got him dead to rights in this bootlegging. Don't forget that. And there's not a way he can alibi himself out of it.
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, that's an awful thing, Ellis. Just think of it. That poor little girl of Bill Harris's, Sheila. She'd be alive today if it wasn't for that boy. And those other kids that got into trouble, Tommy something. What's his name?
Caldwell.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the one that got hurt in the knife fight. And all those other kids. Indirectly, they're this boy's responsibility. Can't be laughed off or sympathized with, Ellis.
Oh, you're dead right, Mr. Smith. The Scanlon boy's got to be held accountable.
I sort of thought we'd see eye to eye on this, Ellis. I I think we feel about the same way about this town. We have a responsibility. The people look to us for protection. And we cannot let them down.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course, it means a lot to me particularly. I started this investigation, and I want to clean it up. You know, we both looked pretty bad after that raid, Alice. Something like that can boomerang. Make the people lose confidence in you. It can reflect on the polls at election time.
You know, Mr. Smith, I've been thinking about that raid. I don't know whether to trust that fellow Walters or not.
How's that, huh?
Well, I don't rightly know what it is. He's kind of shifty-eyed or something. Kind of like a lead quarter. He just don't ring true.
You think so?
Well, of course, it's just a hunch. I can't figure how a boy like young Scanlon could be in this bootleg business just on his own. He had to get hold of that liquor somewhere. Take this last thing. If he was really shanghaied, like he says, well, that sort of proves there's somebody else mixed up in it with him. No, sir, I'm not real satisfied with the way it's turned out.
Yes. Well, maybe we can get to the bottom of it later, Alice. The point is, this boy's in the wrong, so him being kidnapped doesn't have any real bearing on his case. You know, I've been looking around, Ellis, and this sort of thing is catching on all over the state. If I become the governor...
Here. I guess you aren't worried about your chances, Mr. Smith.
Well, I've got a lot of friends, Ellis, yes, and most of the good people know that I have their best interest at heart. But if I become the governor, I'm going to see to it that this sort of thing is stamped out. The young people have got to be protected.
Yeah. You know I'm for you, Mr. Smith. 100%.
Thanks, Ellis. But it's time to set an example. There can't be any soft exceptions. I want that boy in jail where he belongs.
And I'm with you, Mr. Smith. I'm a believer in law and order.
Good. Well, you'll find your boy at the hospital. There's just one thing that upsets me.
What's that, Mr. Smith?
My son-in-law.
Oh, Dr. Paul, what's wrong?
Well, Paul's like most doctors. He's a sentimentalist. And I'm afraid he's got a soft spot for this boy. I imagine he might want to keep him there at the hospital.
Oh, Dr. Paul's a mighty level-headed man. He's a mighty fine man. I think he'll be reasonable.
I don't know whether he will be or not, Ellis. Paul isn't a realist like we are. And, of course, he isn't in the public eye. We have our duties to fulfill, an obligation to the community, and Paul's apt to forget that thing.
Well, I never did have any trouble with Dr. Paul, Mr. Smith. Matter of fact, my whole family's mighty fond of him. He's taken awful good care of us, delivered my last two youngsters. No, I don't think I'll have any trouble with Dr. Paul.
I hope you don't, Ellis, but I'll leave that up to you. There's just one thing. After all, Paul is my son-in-law, and I'd rather not have any hard feelings. Paul might misunderstand our motives, you know, and it might be just as well if you kept my name out of it. Except as a last resort, of course.
Don't you worry, Mr. Smith. I'm the sheriff here. It's my duty to handle it. Well, I'd better be getting over to the hospital.
Very well. I'm glad you came over, Ellis. I think we might be able to work pretty well together. In the future, huh?
You mean after you win that election, eh, Governor? Well, if I can be of service to you, just call me.
Don't worry, Ellis. I never forget my friends. No, excuse me, there's a telephone.
Oh, go right ahead, Mr. Smith. I can let myself out, and I'll take care of everything.
Goodbye, Ellis.
Good evening, Mr. Smith.
Hello? Yes, DeVoe, what do you want? You had a lot of gall going to the hospital. How will that look? Oh, Mrs. Haggerty, eh? So Paul wouldn't let you in? I was afraid of that. Well, don't worry. I've taken care of it. Yes, the boy will be out of that hospital tonight and in jail. He hasn't talked, has he? Good. Just as soon as he's moved, I'll be able to keep my eye on him. I don't think he'll have a chance to do any talking.
Leroy Duval having failed to reach Ricky at the hospital, Jonathan Smith now seems to have met with greater success. Dr. Paul has already declared his intention of keeping Ricky at the hospital. But will he be able to defy the sheriff? Jonathan's political pressure may prove to be more than Dr. Paul is able to cope with.